It's Tuesday, the 19th of May, day 59. We humans tend to overdose on the new, and it takes us a while to discover that the future isn't all it's cracked up to be. The trope of the day at the moment is that homeworking has killed off the office. In the Financial Times last weekend, for example, Henry Mounce even wrote an elegant obituary for it. Now, in the coronavirus-induced lockdown, he says, it seems likely that something has not just paused, but passed away. Offices will open again, but with new rules and less importance. This week, Twitter told employees that they can work from home forever. We've heard lots of dismissive stuff about offices since the lockdown began. They are, quote, inefficient, expensive temples to corporate vanity and petri dishes for pointless tasks, unquote, says Lucy Kellaway, who was one of the most perceptive and amusing critics of office culture in the last two decades. But now Ms. Kellaway seems to be having second thoughts. The office helps keep us sane, she wrote last weekend. First, it imposes routine, without which most of us fall to pieces. The uptight schedule of most offices forces even the least organized person to establish habits. Even better, it creates a barrier between work and home, unquote. As Kate Bush famously observed, don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? The assumption underpinning Henry Mounce's obituary notice is that the coronavirus really has killed off the office. After all, he writes, the office's greatest virtue, serendipity, is incompatible with social distancing. Bumping into random colleagues is exactly what epidemiologists don't want. Yeah, I get that. But epidemiologists are just temporary gods. Sure, we need them badly at the moment, and we are rightly disinclined to ignore their advice at present. But eventually we'll find a way of living with the virus threat, maybe after a deliverable and effective vaccine arrives in, say, 4 years, and then some older realities will resurface. For one thing, we'll discover that homeworking is not all it's cracked up to be. If we are indeed living in an information economy, then homeworking may not foster the flexible collaboration on which that kind of economy actually relies. There's a danger that people become much more bimodal, says Grant Kanick, who studies office design for the giant architectural firm Foster and Partners. They're either in a formal meeting, which is a video conference, or they're doing very reactive computer work, which actually means they're responding to email. What they're not doing is having serendipitous encounters with other colleagues in the way they might have if they were all, at least sometimes, in the same physical space. There's an impressive chapter and verse for that proposition, by the way. For much of the 20th century, the most innovative scientific organisation in the world was probably Bell Labs in New Jersey, the research arm of the giant AT&T Corporation. Among the world-transforming ideas that emerged from it were the transistor, which is the building block of all digital technology, the photovoltaic cell, and the first patents for the laser. That lab built the first communication satellites, the first cellular telephone systems, and the CCD, the charge-coupled device, which became the basis for the sensors in digital cameras. Bell Research has built the first fiber optic cables, created the Unix operating system, and developed the C and C++ programming languages. Some of the lab's researchers published scientific papers that significantly extended the boundaries of physics, of chemistry, of astronomy, and mathematics. Oh, and by the way, they also won 9 Nobel Prizes. Why was this institution so creative? 2 reasons, I think. The first was that it was a giant magnet for talent, and the lab consistently hired the brightest people. The second, oddly enough, was architectural. Mervyn Kelly, the director of the lab, was convinced that when you had a critical mass of clever people, physical proximity was everything. He personally supervised the design of a building that opened in 1941, where everyone would interact with one another. Some of the hallways in that building were extraordinarily wide and designed to be so long that to look down their length was to see the end disappear at a vanishing point. Travelling the hall's length without encountering a number of acquaintances, problems, diversions and ideas was almost impossible. These creative collisions played a big role in the productivity of the lab. as John Gertner, the guy who wrote the history of what he called the Idea Factory, once observed. A physicist on his way to lunch in the cafeteria was like a magnet rolling past iron filings. This is why home working won't quite cut it. Zoom conferences may be all right in their way. But as Robert Louis Stevenson once said of books, they're a mighty bloodless substitute for life.